on AM 1460 by Shasta Regional Medical Center.
Now accepting Anthem Blue Cross, Shasta Regional, treating people well.
The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Welcome to Free Fire Radio. And now, Free Fire Radio
is about to commence.
Good morning, North State. Welcome to Free Fire Radio right here on KCNR 1460 with Carl Bott and Trish Clark.
Good morning.
Good morning. You know, on the spot with, I think, on the spot with Molly Kids tonight. I'm pretty sure.
You need a program
here. Those guys are changing around all the time. Good morning, everybody. It is 7 after 7 here on the 19th of November. 605-4567 is our phone number, and we are streaming live at KCNR1460.com.
It's 41 degrees in downtown Reading. We're looking for a high near 66 today, a low around 47 on Friday. We're looking for a high of 72, and Friday night, 45. Saturday, a high of 70, and a low of 45 Saturday night. We're not looking for any appreciable rain till first of the week. Monday's a slight chance of rain. The weather, as always, is brought to us by Shasta Gas Propane. Our customers are warm friends. It's locally and veteran-owned and operated. They give veterans and senior discounts. Give them a call at 365-3793.
Hey, they're on their way down there to picking up some propane tanks with all of Reagan Incorporated. Our company's truck fleet is going down there with them, picking up propane
Very
tanks.
Good. Nice couple that own that company.
Chuck and Judy.
And just recently celebrated their 50th wedding anniversary.
That's right. Hey, thanks a lot for taking care of the show.
Oh, I always enjoy it. I just wish we could do it at a more appropriate hour. Did you ever think of a noon drive-by?
Well, she was thinking a noon drive-by. It's like a drive-by. Linda, for the longest time, in fact, she still brings it up. She says, why don't we do the afternoon drive from 3 to 6?
I'm with Linda.
Do the 3 to 6 drive, and then we can do, and then in the morning, you know, we could have on something else. You know,
Dr. Laura or somebody.
Bob and Joy or, you know, Mike and Butch or
something. I'm all over that. Linda, let's talk.
Hey. Good morning, everybody. Hey, this portion of the show brought to you by our friends over at Shasta Regional Medical Center. 70 years in the business, ranked in the top 100 hospitals in the nation for 3 years in a row, and in the top 50 hospitals in the nation for cardiac work there. All of this at Shasta Regional, treating people well. Okay, now we got all these things we have to do, but we're starting off today. You know, I get back after a day. I was over on, in case Trish didn't tell you, I was over in Eureka. And was I was giving a speech to their economic development group over there.
Mm-hmm.
Full house. When I say a full house, it's probably well over 100 people. But all the tables were taken and
good.
Everybody had lunch. But here's the thing: is when you're over in Eureka, things are a little bit different. Like in the morning, I got up, I took a shampoo, and I took a shower, and my shampoo was hemp with lemongrass, and then the soap was hemp with lavender. I came out, I smelled fantastic, yes, but I had this almost insatiable urge to eat Twinkies. I didn't know why, but it was hemp, everything. But, you know, so we gave the talk, and then I hurried on back here. But it seemed like, I read the papers, and I come back, and all this stuff happens while I'm gone, even if it's only a day.
Yeah.
Yeah, and Linda also helped the GDP over there. She found a dress shop.
Oh,
and I just stood there. I was in awe of the things that were happening in that dress shop. So, but
I haven't been to Eureka in many years.
Pretty cool. It's got really a nice down. You know, it's got a downtown section that we could have.
Mm-hmm.
It really does. It has a downtown section we could have. But one of the things that did happen when I came back is, you know, today I was reading a paper and catching up.
And yesterday.
Was, the headlines that the city council got testy. And we have Gary Cadd here. And that was good before morning. I knew that they'd gotten testy because I wanted him to come in and talk about the Brown Act, which D.A. Carlton, a nice guy, seems to have you know, keeps, you know, changes his mind. You know, there's nothing. Well, yeah, there is, but I don't know what to do about it because there's nothing you can do about it. But
now we think we'll do something about it.
Now we think we might do something about it, but we don't know what we could do because there's really nothing you can do about it. So, good morning, Gary.
Good morning.
Good morning, Gary.
So, I guess you and Missy had a little said some a little tete-a-tete the other night.
Missy and Francie and it's called a traitor.
Traitor. Oh, I love that. Traitor.
Cad the traitor. I don't know where they got that from.
Nothing.
From a whistleblower. They looked up whistleblower probably in the dictionary, I guess, and found the whistleblower could be a traitor or something. I'm really not certain exactly what happened. But it's sort of like water off the duck. You know, I got a stronger back than that to put up with the comments that are made. The thing with it is the... The issue was a closed session back on March 30th, and the closed session was considering the downtown business group, the downtown improvement group.
And I have to say this, is that I was a member of the Downtown Reading Business Association when all this was going on. I just joined a couple months before that when this whole thing came apart.
Like so you were the troublemaker.
It was obviously because, yeah. You know, here I was just thinking I was doing something for my
and
city.
Just
you know what?
Gay.
This is what happens when you volunteer to do something which you think is going to be helpful for the city, you know, to
just
do things downtown.
Stir things
you know,
up.
To support the Christmas parade, mm-hmm. to get things cleaned up downtown, to do these kind of things. You think you're doing the right thing, and no. Christian Schrader's like, no, we're violating this, and we're doing this. And it was like we all sat there and went, really? We're doing that? So... they decided, and so then there was meetings. They didn't want to talk about it, and then there was meetings. So what happened?
Well, one of the things, Carl, you remember back with RCAC here a few years ago when it took a year and a half to work our way through that. This is the same thing. This was the same scenario.
We all know about the RCAC and what a horrible job the city council did on that one.
Well, the city staff and the council. And so this time around, we're going to go from zero to done in 2 weeks.
Right
or less is what they had in mind.
Yeah,
and in the comments that were were made were just bouncing off the wall to me. And I made my comments. And we need to slow down. We need to do this correctly and work our way through. And if something is wrong, either correct it or maybe even take it away from the downtown group.
And by the way, it was in the contract. The things there's two things you could do. One was, and I'm going to paraphrase this. One. You could just give them notice and say you've got 30 days to fix this. And if you don't, you're gone. That was one thing. That's one thing. The other thing is say you've got 180 days and we're going to put an RFP out. Mm-hmm. And that was the other thing. Instead, it was a third one.
What was the allegation? What was the original, the reason? What were they doing wrong that you decided to disband them?
Well, the reason they disbanded them was that they were spending the money incorrectly, and I think they didn't elect officers. So
what they said was it was being spent incorrectly. Yet there is, this was the thing that this was what offended everybody. You know, like I said, I've only been on it a couple months, but other people have been on it for a couple years. And what they said was, oh, it's being spent incorrectly. Yet there was an accounting every year of the checks. There was a member of the city staff that attended every meeting and was there every meeting to see that we were doing it okay. And we spent the money on things like the city parade, and that kind of stuff. I mean,
the Christmas parade.
Yeah. The Christmas parade and stuff downtown. So to say it was being spent, what was it? Not illegally, but it was it? Did they use
inappropriately?
The term? Did they say illegally?
Well,
what is that? Because that's what Kristen said, something like that. It's been
I don't recall her exact words, but
the allegation was that the money being collected were not being spent correctly.
And so when the DRBA,
it's been so long that we've all forgotten exactly what it was that you didn't like about the downtown business group that was working really hard to better the downtown area.
Right, and the thing that. Comes down is it all comes forward to Gary Cadd breaking the Brown Act. The reason that I mentioned and I said I broke the Brown Act is I wanted to get people's attention to what the problem is. There's a provision within the Brown Act that I can do what I did. It's very straightforward. And there's an email. The city staff got mad at me for putting this email out, but it's an email from the city attorney to the council members, and it basically what it says that The general rule that matters in this discussion is in closed session are indeed privileged and may not be disclosed. While there are exceptions to the general rule, and the attorney says, I do not opine on the applicability of the exception in this particular instance. In other words, there is an exception to what's going on here, but let's not even worry about it. That exception is what gives me the right to be able to stand up and say what I said. So, in other words, I didn't break the Brown Act. It was just bringing something
from
forward.
From what I understand, they just
the
didn't read far enough down into it. And I said, oh, look at this, because it was, you know, let's just get down and say what this is. Gary Cadd's running for re-election.
Yeah, I am.
And so, obviously, there's people, you know, and they have their people already picked who they want to, you know, to get in there. And Gary isn't one of them. I say they. Those are the ladies on the
Well, and clearly from an outside view. I mean, I'm not involved in Reading politics, and I'm in Anderson, so I don't keep up to date. However, what the perception is to the public, obviously Gary disagrees on a regular basis with the other four, and that's quite apparent. And so they would like not to have the irritation of having you correcting them and standing up from the perception that I see for the people. You seem to be coming up more often on the side that the average citizen is wanting to be heard, and you seem to listen to the people, and somehow or other that's offensive to the rest of the council.
Well, yeah, because they want 5-0 votes. If you have 5-0 votes, especially the mayor, she's just tickled pink. But the thing with it is, you can't have 5-0. You take one of our agendas, and you give it to 5 reasonable people out on the street, and have them read it and bring them together and see if they're going to vote 5-0 on everything. And, we know they won't.
Well, and Gary, I always found that it was a healthy discussion when you had 4-1 and 3-2 and sometimes a different 3-2 and a comment, because then people really are paying attention and voting their mind.
We have to take a break.
And 5-0 straight all the time is just condoning what staff puts before you.
Perfect. Okay, and you're right. And so the thing is we'll talk about it when we get back. Carl Bott, Trish Clark, we're here with Gary Cadd, Reading City Councilman, and I'm more than happy to have Missy or anybody else on, too. We'll be right back after these messages.
Fred, what are you cooking for dinner, and where is everyone going to sit?
Barbecue turkey, just like last year, Cliff.
Oh, no, not the giant charcoal cheese puff.
Shut up, Cliff.
Well, you know, Ace has a 30-quart turkey fryer for only $39.99 with Ace Rewards card. And frying oil, 3 gallons for $29.99. Hey, where are you going?
Off to Ace for big November red hot buys.
This month at Ace, there are red hot buys all over.
Your company can sit at a 6-foot fold-and-a-half table, $29.99. Limit one at this price. And the folding chairs are $11.99. Unexpected Company can rest easy on a queen-raised airbed with built-in electric pump, $34.99. For those last-minute household repairs before the holidays, Craftsman and Stanley have select tools and accessories, $9.99 each while supplies last.
All these red-hot buys and more at Ace, your helpful neighbor. Visit your local neighborhood Ace stores in Reading, Anderson, Shasta Lake City, and Cottonwood.
Kyle DeFore from Mighty Fine Foods in Bella Vista here. We'd like to thank our local community for making 2015 our best year yet. Your continued patronage supports 20 local jobs, and when you shop at Mighty Fine, your money stays in your community the way it should be. Daily deli specials under $5, a different hot soup served daily, grocery, meat, produce, and over 1,000 cold drinks. Mighty Fine Foods is your locally owned and operated neighborhood grocer. Mighty Fine, $2.99 in Deschutes in beautiful Bella Vista.
This weekend is the annual Sports LTD Snow Ski and Snowboard Swap and Parking Lot Sale. Turn that used snow ski and snowboard equipment and clothing into cash this weekend at Sports LTD. It all starts Friday with swap registration from 9 a.m. to 7 p.m. Swap and Parking Lot Sale is Saturday from 9 a.m. to 6 p.m. and Sunday from 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. The Mount Shasta Ski Park will be at Sports LTD on Saturday from 10 a.m. to 3 p.m. to take your season pass photos. Gear for winter this weekend at Sports LTD with rental snow ski and snowboard boots starting at $5. Rental skis and bindings on sale for $39.99. Selected quality winter outdoor clothing for the entire family will be on sale 50 to 70% off. New junior snow ski booth from $54.99. Adult ski booth from $99.99. Great deals on adult and junior ski packages. New snowboard boots starting at $59. Decks for $199 and bindings for $79. Check out the selected snow goggles, gloves, socks, and beanies on sale up to 50% off. The Sports LTD Bike Shop is selling rental bikes. Cheap while they last. The annual Sports LTD Snow Ski and Board Swap and Parking Lot Sale this weekend. For more information, call 221-17333. Sports LTD, 950 Hilltop Drive, Reading.
Tired of sitting in a waiting room for hours when you're sick? Churn Creek Healthcare has the answer. Our prompt care is staffed with expert medical professionals that are trained in fast-track medicine. We understand and value your time because no one likes to wait, especially when you are sick. Our prompt care is open Monday through Friday, 7 a.m. to 6 p.m. From sneezes to stitches, we have you covered. We are open to all Medi-Cal and Partnership Health Plan patients in Shasta County. At Churn Creek Healthcare, we provide you only the highest quality of care with dignity and respect you deserve. On the web at churncreekhealthcare.com or call us today at 768-2436.
This is Carl Bott. I'm sitting with Ted Ogilvie here, manager and head driller of Diamond Core Drilling. You know, Ted, with all this water shortage and the drought that's going on, people have a lot of questions about their water wells. What can Diamond Core Drilling do for these people?
I've seen a lot of people run out of water, and it takes a very long time to get a driller scheduled. What we'd like to do is see if we can pull a Department of Water Resources log that shows the construction details of the well. And then we also like to come out and do an actual site visit and inspect the well and see if there's anything that can be done with the well.
Now, this is a free consultation, right?
Yeah, absolutely, Carl. We don't charge anything for that. We've been providing water well services since 1980. We're veteran-owned, veteran-managed. You can reach us at area code 530-275-8162, or you can visit our website, diamondcoredrilling.net.
That's Diamond Core Drilling. They can help you with any of your water well needs.
This is Ted Ogilvie. We're here to help.
Alone when each day's through. Yes, I'll admit.
National news with a local view. KCNR, 1460 AM.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460. Well, welcome back to all of our guests that were in the chat room that we had to reset all of our servers here to and other places to get the sound back on the chat. Of course, it went out over the radio, so now everybody's got their sound back. Good. Hey, welcome back to Free Fire Radio with Carl Bott and Trish Clark. It is 22 after the hour of 7 o'clock, 42 degrees out there, going up to 69. Weather report always brought to you by Shasta Gas Propane. 605-4567 is our number, and we are talking to Gary Cadd about what happened Tuesday night, if he's a traitor or a whistleblower. Okay, so what happened in that meeting? Let's just go over that meeting one more time. Y'all were in a meeting talking about doing away with DRBA, or the business improvement district.
What we were talking about was the district attorney forwarded a letter to the mayor saying that the Redding City Council keeps up the Brown Act and does a great job in keeping the Brown Act and following the Brown Act, except for Gary Cadd. And so they brought the letter up and they wanted to accept the letter. And of course, then I had my comments. So I had my comments, and then Missy MacArthur had her little triate, and then it went on from there. And when I spoke, I got up and left my seat at the council and walked over to the podium on the other side. And the mayor really didn't want me over there, but I said I would. And then she wanted to limit me to 3 minutes, and I said, no, I'm a council member. I'm not going to be limited to 3 minutes.
Why'd you go over there?
To use the overhead screen.
Oh.
So that the people in the audience could see some of the information that I had, and they could actually read it as I read it. And so we went ahead and finished that, and then I went back over and sat down, and then we had our conversations, and that's when I was a traitor. But, you know, I could say things have changed with the city council. For me, things haven't changed for the city council. It's been strained since the day I got on there back in December of 12. And it's getting the point now that we're not really able to talk. I went in yesterday and asked for some information for a citizen, and was told to look it up in the budget. And usually you go.
Who told you that?
Came from the city manager. But
so you're saying the city manager Kurt Starman is refusing to support you?
Oh, I think that's gone on for a long time.
So, but is he supporting the other community, the other city council people?
Yes. Yes, that's gone on for a long time. It's just like with the agendas we have. I used to go in every Monday morning and sit and talk to him and go over the issues of the agenda and tell him the problems that I'd have with certain issues, and then they'd have a prime answer for that during the meeting, whatever it is. And Patrick and I ran into that the times that we were on there, and. It's just like people are mentioning now that there's that I mentioned a Brown Act in August. It isn't really a Brown Act problem, but there was a closed session on 13B, which is unrepresented employees labor negotiations. There's a report that's confidential, attorney-client privilege. So of course I can't turn it loose. I know what it says, and I can't turn it loose. But if the people of the city of Redding saw what was in that confidential report, they'd be livid. And so I can't get the city to turn it loose because the city's saying it takes three members of the council to vote in favor of turning it loose. So I'm just mentioning to the people that if they want to see that report, and I think it'd be in their best interest to start calling the city manager's office and put pressure on the staff to release this.
It's not the staff, though. It's the city council has to vote to do it.
Well, yeah, but you put, you know, the city council does what staff tells it to do.
Really?
Well,
do you know, I sit here and I listen to this and I think how sad this is because there are so many issues before the city of Redding and Shasta County that need to be addressed. And for our council to be spending a good deal of time in our media addressing these very petty issues. You were elected by the people. And it isn't up to the other four city council members to either agree or disagree with you. And certainly it appears that the staff has no choice but to support all five members. I think one of the city council members decided to give the people a time out. Maybe you need the city council to have a little counseling and some gotten arbitrator.
Maybe we need to bring in one of the child psychologists that are in town here to sit down with the city council and have all of y'all, you know, move your cheese back to where it's supposed to be.
Yeah, all just get along? Come on, this is silly. You can agree to disagree.
Frankly, I'm disappointed in Missy for this traitor whistleblower thing. I think higher of that. You know, to go into something like this. You know, I realize Missy's not running again, and I realize she doesn't want you to be reelected. But that kind of, you know, now you're getting on the personal side. On the other hand, Gary, sometimes that you got to have, you know, you also need to have an open mind here on some of this stuff.
Well, I try to take a deep breath.
Well, I know, but
the thing is, this is since I've been on the council, I have a hard time getting recognized, and they finally put these little stupid lights that you have on there, and you press the light, it lights up, and then supposedly the mayor can see. You know, two seats.
We had that in the city. We went through a period in our boardroom in the Board of Supervisors where we installed the little lights so you could be recognized as well.
And what happened?
I don't get recognized. There's several times. There was one particular issue where the issue was all the way through and voted on and at the end, and I was able to speak after we voted on it. And the mayor sees this. They just don't want to. They speak on their side. You look to the left, they speak on their side. And Cat's just over here. We're only going to have to put up with him for another year, and we're going to get rid of him. So we're just off to the side. And the thing with it is, my being is that if there are documents or issues before the city, the people's right to know what's going on in their government trumps mm-hmm. everything else. This is what I'm trying to do, is the people know what's going on. We need to start working on the $300 million of unfunded pensions. I've been screaming about that for 3-4 years now. Mr. Starman yesterday sent out an email saying that John Bartel, our private actuarial, is going to put a report together. I've been begging for that to the point that I went to the Reason Foundation, and they're putting together an actuarial report on what our pensions are between PARS and CalPERS. And it's over $300 million, and we're on a payment plan. Where's this money going to come from by, say, 2019 and 2020 when it escalates by $10 to $13 million more than what we're paying now? Where's this money coming from? Is it going to be pennies from heaven, or do we have money hidden in the...
No, it's going to be higher taxes.
Perhaps the next council has to take care of it. I think what needs to happen, and perhaps people need to appear at the board meeting, at the council meeting. Unfortunately, they have to wait till the very end of the meeting to speak about it. But the community needs to go in there and say, this needs to stop. You people need to get back to paying attention to the important issues and stop with the personality issues.
Trish, you're 100% correct. If the people, folks, listen to me, if the people would come to the meetings, most of our meetings last from about 6 to 8 o'clock, if you come to the meeting and listen to what's going on, if you come and listen and you say everything's fine, hey, that's fine with me. If you come and listen and there's a problem, you're going, what in the heck is going on here? Then stand up and say something about it. The biggest problem is that nobody comes to the meetings, and if you don't come to the meetings, you don't know what's going on, and then when something pops up, you go, well, where did this come from? Well, duh. Well, if you came to the meetings, you can see the handwriting on the wall coming.
Yeah.
The traitor, disloyal, loyalty to whom? And this is a good comment. Loyalty, your loyalty and their loyalty. Everybody's loyalty should be to the people. And you know what? And if there are things that are going on that people need to know about, then you know what? Before Gary was on there, there was lots of things that were leaked to the paper. You know, Francie says, oh, we can never know when it's going to be leaked to the paper. Guess what? There were things leaked to the paper well before Gary Tad was on there. You know, that, you know, I got phone calls from people, different people that would say, look, this is going on. You need to know about it. And then, but don't say anything right now. And then the next day I'd see it in the paper. So anyway, but so, I mean, it's not like people don't talk about everything that comes off that council, but we got to run. You are on your way to Anderson.
Anderson for the honey oil lab. A class is going on this morning.
How to build one or how to get rid of them?
I imagine how to build it. What the mechanics are. You know, it makes you a better council person or a better individual if you know what you're up against
right. When
you're putting some legislation together to combat it.
And a shout out to Baron Browning, Councilman Baron Browning down in the city of Anderson. This is what we want to see our elected people doing. He sees an issue there. He's being proactive about bringing it to the attention in the city of Anderson. And it's causing a problem. He's trying to do something about it. That's what we want our elected people. Be proactive. You see a problem, get a group together, try to solve it, quit arguing with each other.
So, and thanks for going down there because we've had our series of explosions up here. Thanks a lot, Gary. Yeah. Hey, we got to take a break. Oh, and Charles, I am so sorry. If Charles still on the line, we'll get to you as soon as we get back from this break. Charles, thanks.
NorCal Limo, the ultimate in luxury limousines.
This is Jamie with NorCal Limousine. Here at NorCal Limo, we specialize in group transportation, birthday parties, proms, weddings, Manton wine tours, ladies' night out, guys' night out, Christmas light tours, concerts, and we service all the major airports. Don't worry about parking fees and wasted gas money. NorCal Limo will pick you up and take you anywhere in the North State area. Packages start at $150. Enjoy the finest in expertise and precision with the newest limo in town. Check out our website at www.norcallimo.com or give us a call at 276-8851.
Licensed and insured, DCP 31143.
The unmistakable sound of the Temptations. Motown comes to Reading Sunday, December 6th at 7 p.m. Live in concert, it's The Temptations at the Reading Civic Auditorium. Don't miss The Temptations. For more than 50 years, hit after hit from The Temptations. Now live in Reading at the Civic Auditorium. Tickets are on sale now. Go to the Civic box office. Call 229-0022 or online at readingcivic.com for the incredible Motown sound of The Temptations. The smooth stepping and flawless presentation of flair, flash, and class come to the Reading Civic Auditorium with The Temptations live in concert December 6th. Get your tickets now at the box office. Call 229-0022 or online at readingcivic.com for The Temptations.
Hello, I'm Chuck Kenny, owner of Shasta Gas Propane. My wife Judy and I started Shasta Gas 18 years ago with the goal of providing safety, service, and savings to our neighbors here in Shasta and Tehama counties. We're coming off of a fairly warm winter, but I know that many people still receive some high monthly propane bills, which can be hard on the budget. Shasta Gas is now enrolling some of our customers in our Easy Payment Program, where we estimate your annual propane bill and divide that by 11 equal payments. So instead of getting a $400 bill each month next winter, you could make much smaller payments each month beginning in May. Also, Easy Payment customers receive a discount on the price they pay for propane as a thank you for being in the program. So if you're interested in dealing with a locally owned, family-operated propane company and making smaller monthly payments on your propane bill, give us a call at 365-3793. That's 365-3793.
KCNR, 1460 AM, the most local programming in Northern California.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio, KCNR 1460. Leave for a day. Oh, here we go. Is it coming?
Introducing and then a little
welcome.
Music.
Yeah, welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460. 25 minutes till 8 o'clock. 42 degrees out there, going up to 69 today. 605-4567 is our phone number. This portion of the show brought to you by Redtown Market. Saturday, November the 28th, it's going to be dozens and dozens and dozens of vendors down there at the Civic Auditorium. It's free. It goes from 11 a.m. to 8 p.m. Linda will be singing from 2 to 4. But you can find all – you can be that specific gift. You've already done your area shopping. Now you can go into your specific shopping.
And what's the date on this?
This is November the 28th.
And you've already done your shopping?
Well, that's after Black Friday. This will be Pink Saturday, I guess. I'm not sure.
I'm like a Christmas Eve shopper.
Well, anyway, hey, that's going where it's going. It's going November the 28th. It's going to be a great time down there. Redtown Market down to Redding Civic Auditorium. Charles, good morning. Sorry, Charles, to keep you on hold for like 46 minutes.
Yes, good morning.
Good morning,
good
Charles.
Good morning.
Well, this latest example of Missy's behavior serves as quite a contrast with all those times that she and Francie and company have lectured us ad nauseum about the subject of civility. Seems to be only one way.
Well, it's always been like that.
Well,
we need.
I know, but this is
the town needs a timeout.
Underscores it, puts it in boldface font.
Yes, it is. Perhaps they need a timeout, Charles.
I think they need a timeout. Like I said, they all do. They all need child psychology up there.
I would not suggest a child psychology. I would suggest some. Do you think your old Carl? Do you think your old drill instructor would still be able to perform those duties? Because I mean, I think there are four people on the city council who could use those particular services.
Well, I think, frankly, probably all five of them can do it. But, you can't do it anymore because they say they need their safe areas to go into where you can't speak to them. You can't talk to me like that. You can't bring up things. And plus, we need these warnings, these trigger alerts at the beginning of the city council meetings.
Yes.
So people can step back and go, I don't want to listen to this.
Was that microaggression?
Think of all the microaggression going on Tuesday night at the city council. But frankly, you're right, though. I mean, but you're right about one thing, Charles. They gave, as Brent Weaver, our friend, told us, he gave everybody in town a timeout by moving the comments to the end of the meeting. And instead, it's just grab a bag of popcorn, head on down to the city council if you want to watch. It's almost like a kung fu movie anymore. Down there,
who is
just, you are traitor.
Who's that guy that sang Kung Fu Fighting?
I don't know what it is, but okay.
Yeah, I mean,
somebody copy this and send it to the city council.
Drop and give us 20.
Yeah, well, anyway, okay, Charles, thanks a lot.
You know, I made the comment yesterday that again, because I'm not at the meetings and what have you, but when the perception in the community is that that is what's going on at our city council meeting, when we have all these issues before us, they're not serving us, and that's all five of them. They need to stop with the nonsense and get back to the business of the citizens.
All five of them. I agree. You know what? This is a bunch of hooey.
As an elected official, they have to live with the perception, whether it's accurate or not, and the perception is that they're not accomplishing
people,
much.
You know
there.
What? And they said it the other day. It's a good thing they're not getting paid for this job because you'd want to cut their pay. Okay, thanks a lot, Charles. All right, changing to something that's very positive, and actually something does happen there, and it happens
and
on time,
positive.
And that you really enjoy what's going on because it's entertainment like it's supposed to be and not in the city council with our friends from Cascade Christmas. Good morning to Kim, Jessica, and John?
Martin.
Well, you didn't give me any pieces of paper here. I can only remember two names at a time. All right. Okay, Jessica.
Yeah. Oh, you're looking at
Kim. I know. But I'm saying Jessica. I knew you were Jessica. We're okay.
Okay, we got to get started.
But Kim came in first. We'll start with Kim. All right, Kim.
Good morning.
Cascade Christmas.
Yes.
Tell us about it.
Oh, it's going to be so incredibly magical this year. We have another original script written by Jessica here, and it is a lot of new elements, and we've incorporated singing, dancing, acting for everybody this year, so it's going to be a lot more
For everybody?
Biggest right. Everybody.
You mean we, us people?
The audience,
too? We people in the audience can get up and we're dancing?
It's very possible.
Well, it's happened before.
We always encourage dancing.
Okay.
Singing from the audience members, absolutely.
Okay, Jessica, every year it's different. So,
yes.
So what have you done this year? I mean, is it going to be like, is it going to be people like flying through the air like little elves and...
This year, you know, I'm excited about this year. This year's script is a little different. In years past, we have been at the North Pole. We've been in very obvious magical environments. And this year, we've kind of brought the script into the real world. And Mr. and Mrs. Claus are trying to pass themselves off as a couple of hotel owners, Mr. and Mrs. Holly. And it's a story about some very special guests that they have. And we follow these families that their Christmas plans have gone awry. And Mr. and Mrs. Claus are there to kind of show them the true meaning of Christmas and help each of them find their way.
Wow. A passion play.
It is.
It is. It starts off and then, you know, it starts off with sad children and ends with happy children, right?
Yeah, pretty much.
Pretty much.
Absolutely. You've seen it then. You read
in a nutshell.
I think, what did they say? There's only three plots for every book and movie. It's just the way you present it. But no,
they
this sounds great.
They borrow and steal ideas
now,
all the time.
Did you write all the songs too?
No. A lot of the songs are, you know, traditional holiday songs.
Right.
I did, however, we took liberties with the lyrics. And so there are some, I guess, original songs, but... yeah, they're just more suited to the storyline.
So how long does it take you to write a... and so how long is this? It's like an hour and a half?
What's today?
started Monday.
We sat down and around Jana's coffee table, our producer, Jana Leard. We sat down around her coffee table in June and started fleshing out ideas. At the end of a three-hour meeting, I think I went home with, pretty much the majority of the characters, bones of the outline, and... I don't know, anywhere between half to three quarters of the songs that we knew we wanted to use. And I take that home and just start writing, you know, the scenes and the dialogue that's going to take place in between the songs, kind of get the story built. So, yeah.
Okay.
It took about,
So have you written?
We're still working on it.
It's a work in progress. How many of these have you written? Not this kind, but have you written plays before?
Yes, this is my third consecutive year writing the script for Cascade Christmas.
But besides Cascade Christmas, have you done other stuff like that? Or this is just something you took on yourself 3 years ago?
Because
I've enjoyed every one of them.
Oh, well, thank you. I appreciate that. Yeah, I did a lot of stuff in college, a lot of original scripts that I had produced in college and student and faculty produced. And I've just, you know, I'm kind of trying to find my niche here in Reading. I'm working on a couple things currently, and I'm hoping to have something to preview to audiences next summer.
Perhaps you could do dialogue for the city council.
Hey. I would love that.
I mean, you could really,
write a farce.
Okay, let's get Knox around. Okay, there goes Knucks around the hall. Everybody was giving each other high fives.
Sorry, we're talking about Cascade Christmas. I'm not trying to upset anybody.
No, but
this is merry time of year.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is.
Love to everybody.
So when do we get started?
I'm sorry we're being so
this.
Happy here. Okay.
When does it start? When is it?
Okay, jump in, Mark.
We open, when do we open? A week from Friday, November 27th.
November 27th,
yes.
Okay. Now,
we have matinee that day?
What I told Jenna the other day was, I wish you could run it, closer to Christmas, because my grandkids are coming up, and my kids are coming up, and they would just love this, because, I mean, it's hard to get me down there to sit in there, but I never miss Cascade Christmas.
Well,
it's just,
it,
no, well, no, I mean that, and it's I sincerely enjoy it, because it's nonstop, which is cool, because when you have a attention deficit disorder like I probably have, that when things are moving all the time, but just the story itself and the way that it's produced, so... The whole thing is great. So, Mark, are you portraying?
I play.
What's your part in this?
I play Rudy. He is pretty much Santa's right hand man, making sure everything happens the way it's supposed to throughout the show.
You little elf. Then are you kind of elfish, or are you?
Oh, no? Always elfish.
Always elfish.
Even in real life.
I love the comments you made after you said farce in here on our chat room.
Oh.
They agreed with you.
Oh.
They strongly agreed with Jessica.
Thank you.
Okay. All right. Now, how many people are in this, Kim?
I believe we have 41 cast members.
I'm not sure who I should talk to about all those types of questions. So
you just ask.
What did you do? What's your point? What do you do?
I am director, vocal director, and performer.
Okay. Vocal director and performer. So you have like 41 people in this. Dancing, singing.
All of the above, yeah. Every single person has to sing, act, and dance at this show.
How many people does it take to put on the Cascade Christmas?
It takes a village. That is for sure.
It takes a village.
It does. It is definitely a team effort, and it's a proud one for sure.
So are all three of you actors as well as and participants as well as directors? And
I'm not on stage. I'm actually back in the booth.
Yeah. She has done acting before, but this year she's running the show behind.
Yeah, I'll be back in the booth. I'm the stage manager, too, okay. So I'll be running lights, and you guys can all run by and give me a high five after the show. It'll be awesome.
We will, I'm sure. You know what? You'd really have to, and if you haven't seen it, my friends, you need to go to the show, and it's not expensive to get in there. And I'm sure we'll be, you know, we're going to be there. I'm not sure which day, but, it starts on the 27th.
Mm-hmm.
Then it goes for how long?
It goes through December 6th.
December 6th, so it's not weekends. A lot of time.
No, both weekends.
Okay.
And you can get tickets at the box office, at the Cascade box office. You can also go online to cascadetheater.org, or you can call the box office as well.
Okay. You know, and another perfect example of the marvelous things that we get from the Cascade Theater and what a jewel that is for Shasta County, the opportunity to see this really top-notch professional presentations. Cascade Christmas coming up November 27th. Right.
A cast of dozens.
Yeah.
And really good people here. What, last thoughts on this? Give us one last thing to take away. Jessica, you're the writer.
Sure. You know, this is the Cascade crew and cast, we consider ourselves a family. And I speak on behalf of everybody that this is a huge honor to be a part of such a Reading tradition. I mean, there really is nothing else like this. Nobody else will see this show outside of this area. And so I take a lot of pride in getting the opportunity to write the script and just being involved with all of these amazing people. It really is a really special show. So
great.
I hope you'll come
super.
And see it.
Cascade Christmas, starting November the
27th. Through December 6th.
December 6th. So everybody go to it. I'm going.
I will be there.
Everybody's going to go. You're not anybody unless you go.
Absolutely. If you miss this, and that's as you indicate, this is an opportunity right here in Shasta County for some spectacular performances that they're not going to see anyplace else in the world.
That's right.
Great show.
Okay. We're going to be right back after these messages. Carl Bott and Trish Clark.
It's the most wonderful time of the year.
Hi, this is Don from Redding Tire Factory. Rain, sleet, hail, ice, and snow, it's on its way. Redding Tire Factory can get your vehicle winter ready. Wiper blades so you can see, antifreeze for those cold mornings, batteries so your vehicle won't leave you stranded, tires and snow chains for those icy roads. As part of our service, you will receive a free safety inspection on your vehicle. Come by Redding Tire Factory and make sure you are ready for those harsh winter months. Redding Tire Factory, the corner of California and Eureka Way in beautiful downtown Redding.
It's either nuclear, coal, oil, or gas, right? Actually, there is another affordable energy choice. Now is the time to think solar. It's safe, clean, efficient, and puts money back in your pocket. Solar systems may reduce your energy bill as much as 50 to 100%, and you're also eligible for an energy tax credit. With so many solar dealers available to install systems at your home, how do you find the right one? Advanced Power of Reading can help you make that choice, whether just getting educated about the savings and benefits of solar to helping you understand all the different bids. Advanced Power has the answers. So if you ever wondered how much it would cost to go solar, stop wondering. Call Advanced Power at 226-0701 for your free estimate. Fight back rising energy costs with a solar system from Advanced Power. 843 North Market Street, Reading. In business in the Reading area since 1978. That's 226-0701 to start reducing energy costs today.
It's that time of year again for the Reading Gun Show this Saturday and Sunday at the Holiday Inn Convention Center. Saturday hours are from 9 a.m. to 5 p.m., Sunday from 9 a.m. to 4 p.m. Jam-packed with guns, knives, new, used, old, and antique. And bring your used unwanted gun and sell it for cash at this show. This is the show of the year. So remember, the Reading Gun Show this Saturday and Sunday at the Holiday Inn Convention Center.
This weekend is the annual Sports LTD Snow Ski and Snowboard Swap and Parking Lot Sale. Turn that used snow ski and snowboard equipment and clothing into cash this weekend at Sports LTD. It all starts Friday with swap registration from 9 a.m. to 7 p.m. Swap and Parking Lot Sale is Saturday from 9 a.m. to 6 p.m. and Sunday from 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. The Mount Shasta Ski Park will be at Sports LTD on Saturday from 10 a.m. to 3 p.m. to take your season pass photos. Gear for winter this weekend at Sports LTD with rental snow ski and snowboard boots starting at $5. Rental skis and bindings on sale for $39.99. Selected quality winter outdoor clothing for the entire family will be on sale 50 to 70% off. New junior snow ski boots from $54.99. Adult ski boots from $99.99. Great deals on adult and junior ski packages. New snowboard boots starting at $59. Decks for $199 and bindings for $79. Check out the selected snow goggles, gloves, socks, and beanies on sale up to 50% off. The Sports LTD Bike Shop is selling rental bikes. Cheap while they last. The annual Sports LTD Snow Ski and Board Swap and Parking Lot Sale this weekend. For more information, call 221-7333. Sports LTD, 950 Hilltop Drive, Reading.
KCNR, 1460 AM. If we're not talking about it, it's probably not important. KCNR, 1460 AM.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460 with Carl Bott and Trish Clark. It's the 19th of November, 42 degrees out there, going up to 69 today. Weather report's brought to you by Shasta Gas Propane. Trish, Forever Our Fair.
Yes, this is Saturday, absolutely.
November the 21st, all you can eat ribs.
That's going to be a great time, and again, reminder that the fair is about more than just the 5 days of the fair. That's a facility that's used on a regular basis, and this is the Friends of the Fair.
Yep.
Put this on. You need to go down there and eat all these ribs, and Chad Best Bushnell will be there, his band, dancing, dinner, raffles, guns.
Got it all. Okay, and for more information, call 378-6789. But you can just show up down there and buy tickets, probably.
Absolutely. They're going to have a dessert raffle. That's always fun.
Oh, yeah. Gun raffles, bucket raffles. Shastgate Community Services looking for volunteers for the annual holiday gift wrapping booth at Mount Shasta Mall, which is absolutely outstanding for all of us who are wrapping challenged.
Yes.
I take all my stuff down there. I give it to them. I walk around the mall for a while. I stop over the Rusty Nail, get a beer. Okay, maybe not a beer, but a something there.
And, an adult beverage.
An adult beverage there. Talk to everybody there. Of course, it's a veteran-known business there. And then come back, and they've got them done so well. And all the funds that they make there, they provide to their consumers. They help the developmentally disabled adults in our community.
Yes.
So it's a great thing
to do.
And
it's a tradition in Shasta County. That's where you go.
Do it. Startup weekend, November 20th, 22nd, the Shasta Venture Hub here. If you've got an idea, if you're a tech guy or non-tech guy, you've just got a good idea for a business. Friday, Saturday, and Sunday at the Shasta Venture Hub. Friday night, collaborating and brainstorming with a team, develop a business, prototype a product on Saturday and Sunday. Evening is reality. Present your product, launch a business. Check it out. Info and registration, readingstartupweekend.co from the EDC. And the Holiday Crafts Fair.
Holiday Crafts Fair at the Frontier Senior Center on Saturday. We have a snack bar, lots of homemade items and booths and crafts. And they have a snack bar that you can get a $5 hamburger meal or a $4 hot dog meal. And on Sunday, they have the community breakfast between 8 and 11 and the craft show from 8 until 2. So come on down.
Good way to get some presents.
Absolutely.
Some
and that's the first weekend in December. First weekend in December, the 5th and 6th.
Four Winds Jewelry is having a huge sale, 2225 Hilltop Drive on the 23rd of November.
Whoa.
Leonard is trotting it out. And I tell you what, he does it once a year. And this on the 23rd, he brings in a couple extra people because, trust me, you get super deals, outstanding examples of jewelry, estate jewelry, anything you can possibly imagine. He's got, you know, anything from a 5-carat ring or larger to brooches and watches, everything. He's got it all. And it's on sale on the 23rd, 2225 Hilltop Drive. He opens at 9:30 in the morning, and he stays open until 4 p.m. And you know what, people? You're looking for that perfect That perfect jewelry.
Perfect Christmas gift.
Gift for Christmas. Here it is.
There you go.
Four Winds Jewelry. Give them a call, 222-2750. All right. Rest of the time for the next 1 hour and 5 minutes.
Yes.
It's you and me.
Okay.
It's you and me, babe.
All right. We can probably figure out something to talk about.
Okay. After all that was said, here's this. I'm going to do a shout out to Kristen Schrader.
Okay.
That, you know why? Because Kristen said, I'm going to do the study on the homelessness. It's not going to cost you taxpayers a dollar. I'm going to raise the money to do the study. And she did. $35,000 or $40,000. She raised the money for that. It was done on time. I assume it was done on time. And it actually had a list of objectives at the end of it.
I mean, there you go.
Okay. Contrast that to the blueprint for safety.
Yeah. Okay.
That is not out yet. That it was a mess. And people are fighting it already. Kristen Schrader put this thing together. Now, I'm not saying you have to agree with it.
But she's got
a list of objectives and priorities on how to help the home on how to help take care of the homeless problem, which we have. And one of the big things is trying to even count the homeless.
Yeah, there you go.
You've got the guys over at the Shasta, mental health facility and the county health facility saying they help 3,000 people a year. You know, supposedly 3,000 different people a year. And then you've got when they do the study on it, they've got 385 homeless in shelters and 500 not, or vice versa. And there's a big difference between 800 homeless and 3,000 homeless. I mean, just the numbers are huge. Now, so what is the true number? One. Now, the one thing they all say is there's got to be more funding and a conglomerate as opposed to just individual organizations trying to help. In other words, put everything under the one safe place thing.
Exactly, because a lot of times we've run into this in this county and probably every place for years. If you're duplicating services at five different locations,
and you're paying people for it,
you're paying people. You get eaten up with the overhead and the bureaucracy of it, and very little of the effort ends up helping the people you're targeting. So, if you're really going to make a difference on any issue, whether it's homelessness or the senior population or children's services or whatever it is, you need everybody in the community who is talking about doing something about it, get in the same room, divvy up the work, and accomplish it. That way, you get rid of all that duplication of effort, and nobody's double dipping the system, getting service at two or three different places.
And that's true. And the thing about it too is this, is they talked about, one of the things they talked about is housing for homeless, to get them into a homeless, get them off the streets into a situation where you can then get them help and assistance so they can rejoin the working class. This is kind of what they were doing. It's kind of in that same vein as they were in the restoration from the guy from San Antonio.
Uh-huh.
He came up.
Yes.
Where they take people that had the drinking and the drug problems and this, put them into a center where they could get clean and sober, and then move them into a facility where they would be safe and let them work their way back into society. And they had a very, very small recidivism rate, which was, that's kind of cool.
Yes.
Again, the devil's in the details.
Well, and the part of the lack that happens with a lot of these housing projects that we start for these different populations, there needs to be a real checks and balance accountability when we put these people in the homes. Because what happens a lot of times when we start these projects, we put them in the home and somehow think they're going to be self-sustaining and don't hold them to a level of accountability. I.e., they go in and trash the place, and then they're back homeless on the streets. And we don't end up having the facility available and or having helped the people.
Well, and that's true. So you've got to have that accountability. So that's the other thing. You've got to have accountability on this thing. But at least what Schrader has done is she said, homelessness is a problem because then you get transients, you get these camps, which are just nothing but illegal camps down there that can cause – God knows what it was like to live in one of those places.
Oh.
I mean, it's not – I mean, really. I mean, you live in fear, I imagine. You live in cold. You live in heat. You have no way of keeping yourself clean. And so that, of course, is not the way you want to go. The other way, though, is how do you take care of this and not let this become a terrible tax burden or – accountability or policing, or it could be a magnet.
You have to figure out the people who want help.
That's the thing.
And cipher those out and concentrate your efforts. It's the old story about the Titanic and the ships, the boats. You can't let everybody into one lifeboat because it's just going to sink the lifeboat. There has to be a hard
system.
Accountability.
And you're not going to be perfect.
No.
But if you can say get to 75 to 80% of them that need this, that look like they are going to be able to change their lives, get back into society. And we got to take a break here, of course. Here's the big question. Where are the jobs? We'll be right back after these messages in the news. Carl Bott and Trish Clark, and we'll talk a little bit about that. We'll be right back.
The news is brought to you now on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center.
Top cardiovascular hospital in the nation, Shasta Regional, treating people well.
News this hour from townhall.com. I'm Bob Agnew. The Paris prosecutor says the suspected mastermind of the Paris attacks, Abdelhamid Abaoud, was killed in yesterday's police raid near Paris. Reaction from military affairs analyst, retired Lieutenant Colonel Robert McGinnis.
It's great news that you've been able to take off the streets somebody that no doubt would be plotting to kill other Parisians, French, or perhaps people in other countries.
The director of the European Union's police coordination organization, meantime, says he sees the Paris attacks as a very serious escalation of ongoing terrorist threat in Europe.
It's the first example we've seen in Europe of a Mumbai-style attack of indiscriminate shootings in public places combined with suicide bombings, something indeed that the security authorities in Europe have been fearing since that attack in Mumbai in 2008.
Furthermore, Europol chief Rob Wainwright says the number of suspected foreign fighters traveling between Europe and Syria or Iraq has doubled over the past year. Concerned over this government's ability to screen out terrorists, the House is set to vote today on a bill to put the brakes on the president's plans to resettle Syrian refugees.
The country is uneasy and unsettled.
House Speaker Paul Ryan.
And they have every right to be.
The speaker says Americans understand the plight of those fleeing violence.
But they also want basic assurances for the safety of this country.
So Congress will move today to pause the president's plans to resettle refugees.
It calls for a new standard of verification for refugees from Syria and Iraq.
The speaker rejecting calls to screen out Muslims.
We will not have a religious test, only a security test.
Once these new guidelines are set, those who don't meet them won't be allowed in.
That's Capitol Hill correspondent Wally Hines reporting. It's been a struggle for the Dow Jones Industrial Average. In early trading on Wall Street right now is down by just about 25 points. More of these stories from townhall.com.
The following is a real-life story from Trinity Debt Management.
I had numerous credit cards, and I was struggling with paying them off, so I made the call.
If you're in debt and you need help, call Trinity at 1-800-758-5360.
The people at Trinity are very friendly. They will do whatever you need them to do in order for you to feel better about being in a very difficult place.
If your debt has you down, call Trinity at 1-800-758-5360.
Do you have a family member who's getting older and can no longer be safely left alone? With Visiting Angels America's Choice in Senior Home Care, your parents and older family members can continue living at home and not have to move into a nursing home. Experienced, compassionate caregivers provide assistance in hygiene, meal preparation, and light housework up to 24 hours per day at affordable rates. To restore your family's peace of mind, call Visiting Angels toll-free today at 877-374-LIVE or at visitingangels.com.
Supermarkets and pizza chains would get some relief from government calorie labeling rules under legislation approved by a House committee on Wednesday.
Restaurants and other food retail outlets, such as grocery stores, will be required to use the calorie labels starting a year from now. The bill by Republican Congresswoman Kathy McMorris Rogers of Washington State would make it easier for some businesses to comply. The bill approved 36-12 by the House Energy and Commerce Committee would narrow labeling requirements for supermarkets by allowing stores to use a menu or menu board in a prepared foods area instead of putting labels on individual items. It would also allow restaurants like pizza delivery chains that receive most of their orders remotely to post calories online instead of at the retail location. Keith Peters, Washington.
The Food and Drug Administration has approved genetically modified salmon, the first altered animal for human consumption in this country. By altering genetic material, scientists have created some animals that can grow more efficiently. Breaking news at townhall.com.
Senator Marco Rubio is throwing his support behind an effort to preserve an NSA surveillance program. We get more from correspondent Linda Kenyon on Capitol Hill.
The Florida Republican senator who is running for president is backing a bill that would allow the NSA's bulk collection of U.S. phone data to continue until 2017. The bill, sponsored by Arkansas Republican Tom Cotton, follows the Paris attacks. Earlier this year, Congress approved the USA Freedom Act. It requires the NSA to end its bulk collection of data by November 29th and turn over the operations to private companies. Senator Rubio says the NSA reform legislation left the intelligence community without the tools it needs to protect the American people.
That is Linda Kenyon reporting. Today might be a good day to get a good buy on Best Buy shares. They're plunging after the electronics retailer reported disappointing quarterly sales and offered a cautious outlook for the key holiday shopping season. More of these stories from townhall.com.
The news was brought to you this hour on AM 1460 by Shasta Regional Medical Center.
Now accepting Anthem Blue Cross, Shasta Regional, treating people well.
The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460 with Carl Bott and Trish Clark. It's Thursday, November the 19th. Good morning, everybody. It's 6 after 8. Phone lines here are 605-4567, and we are streaming live at KCNR1460.com. Good morning, everybody out there in streaming land.
It is 42 degrees in downtown Reading. We're looking for a high of 69 today and a low of 47. And on Friday, it's going to get up to 72 degrees and 45 degrees in the evening. Saturday, about the same, 70 and 44. No appreciable rain expected until the first of the week, possibly on Monday. Shasta Gas Propane brings us the weather every time. Our customers are warm friends. Locally owned and operated, they give veterans and senior discounts. You can give them a call at 365-3793.
That's right. Hey, this portion of the show brought to you by our friends over at Sleep Number. Sleep Number, where you can save right now 30% on their temperature balancing pillow, which I have because I wanted one. And this temperature balancing pillow lets you put your head down there, and it kind of like absorbs the heat but keeps it cool. It kind of like diffuses it out. It's really nice, nice to sleep on. But again, Sleep Number, where you've got that dual air beds that you can adjust. My Sleep Number setting is 45.
Oh, and you know what? I'm bouncing between 55 and 45 and all places in between, but for years it was 55, but that's the beauty of it. If you're not just sleeping as well as you think you can adjust that, and they last forever. I've had my bed over 10 years, and it's the best night's sleep you're ever going to have.
American made, guaranteed. Head on down to the Target Shopping Center, over to the Sleep Number store. See Brian, Janice, or any of the professionals there. How much is a good night's sleep worth? Consider
priceless.
That it would cost you a lot less than it does for a latte at, you know, some of our fancier places here around town. Okay. 7 after 8. Bob.
Colonel Bott, I have a question.
Yes.
This springs from the chat room. report about five Syrians passing through a Honduras airport on the way to the U.S. found to have fraudulent passports, and the comment was made that maybe, you know, Governor Brown, of course, opening his arms to anybody and everybody who wants to wander into the United States. And we're told by the federal government that these, 10,000, 30,000 Syrians?
I think it's 80,000.
That they want to bring in because obviously there's no place else on the whole planet for them to go except right here. Think of the children.
Widows and children, aren't they?
Yeah. That they have been properly vetted, that there's nothing to worry about. Everything is sunshine. Now, what I want to know is, remember the Syrian fighters that we trained at $500 million and ended up with five guys who then immediately defected? How does that pencil out?
Well, you know what? $100 million a piece does not go as far as it used to, first of all. The second of all, somebody else asked me about this. Mark Beecham sent me this. He said, Carl, how do we spend this much money? And I said, believe it or not, you saw this. First of all, you got to picture this whole beginning of this thing and start from the beginning to start capturing price. Somebody had this idea. So they had a meeting, and that cost money. Yeah, then they had another meeting there with more people there, which cost money. Then they flew over there to Iran, Iraq, wherever they were going to train them at, Turkey, wherever they were training them at. And then they had to go there. They go, well, you know what? This is really a great idea. So they have some more meetings, more money. Then they build the base they're going to be at. Then they do the vetting process. And now the vetting process, let me tell you something. The vetting process, when we were looking for translators in Iraq, and as everybody ran through, it takes a while. There's two different kinds of translators. There's kinds that stay inside the wire that talk to, you know, that translate when, you know, like dignitaries or officials come over. They're there to make sure that everything is understood. Then you have outside the wire guys and some girls. They go out there. They're fully combat. They're in combat. They travel with patrols and all this, and they're out there to get right on the ground and talk. So that takes forever to find those and to get them vetted through. And then trying just to vet people to be in the military or just jobs on the base. It just, you know, I mean, it's very difficult. So now you're going to vet people that are coming, that they're going to fight. So now after you vetted them, now you've got, and you've built the place, now you've got to bring in the weapons. Now you got to bring in the instructors. Now you got to have more meetings. Now you got to have more training. Now you got to have more instructors. This was a giant fat pig just laying there to be suckled. I'm not kidding you. There was probably and it had like 40 faucets, and those faucets were filled every time. When there was a free faucet, five more little piglets would jump onto that suckle point and start sucking, and they would share, and then they would sign contracts with each other to share the suckling. This is how it's done.
What benefit did that give to the American taxpayer?
We trained at the end of this. We had trained 50, of which five got into combat and immediately handed over their stuff. You know what?
Not a very cost-effective proposition.
And Obama has the gall to look out and say, well, you know, I really wasn't for that plan.
Yeah.
Now, let's talk about the point being is that vetting. Okay, obviously the vetting on these guys wasn't done very well. So here's the other point. So we're going to vet 80,000 Syrians when there's no records. So you don't even know that's their names. So how are you going to go back? Yes, it can be a 2-year process because that's – I kind of had this impression that, oh, we're just going to take them and bring them in here and work it that way. But somebody else in the State Department said, no, it takes 2 years to vet them. I don't think that you're going to see a 2-year wait between the Syrians that are nominated to come over here and them getting here. And here's the danger, Governor Brown. Are they truly vetted? And President Obama, you have such, you know, you're such a condescending person. Oh, so you're afraid of women and children, huh? 3-year-old babies, huh? Well, let me tell you, obviously you've never seen a 3-year-old baby in its little cart loaded with explosives as it's pushed into the street. And when you stop so you don't hit the baby, it explodes. Oh, gee, did they ever teach you that at Harvard? This is what happens. 3-year-old babies, younger ones with explosives in their carts with them.
And they're primed to explode,
and women, and then when you go up because you don't want to hurt a child, and then the child and all of its area around you blows up. Yes, that does happen. So, no, am I afraid of a 3-year-old child? No, if I see the 3-year-old child, it's the people around the 3-year-old child that I'm afraid of, that I'm concerned about. But here's, again, the bottom line on this is, how are you going to vet these people? And Governor Brown, when every time somebody asks you that question, oh, no, there'll be stringent ways of vetting. What exactly are the ways? Somebody needs to ask the governor, can you tell me exactly how they're going to be vetted? That when you've got people from a war-torn area that they've run across, they don't have papers, they don't have anything. How are you going to identify them? And these 3-year-old babies and the elderly women that people are shouldn't be afraid of, what about the 2/3 of the refugees which are males of military age? What about that group?
But more importantly, why are we bringing them so far away from their country? They're fleeing because of the war conditions and persecution within their country. Why aren't they being relocated at a country near them until this subsides and they can be put back into their society? There is not a hope in the world that you can bring 80,000 of those people with their culture, their background, their lifestyle, and assimilate them into the United States of America. There's absolutely no chance that's going
build,
to happen.
Why don't we just use the money it would take to do this?
And build and barracks put,
and
or something
them,
there to put
them
in.
In a very safe area over there in the Middle East. There are places in the Middle East that are safer. Or well, you know what? I'm not sure any place in the Middle East is safe. Well, frankly, you know what? Frankly, I am not sure that
there
are.
Well, it's not going to be safe here if we keep bringing them over here. Well, that's the point.
But that's what I. But
we need to take them to a lesser area where we can build a base, put them there.
They're taken care
them,
of.
Feed them,
right.
Give them health. Spend our money in that manner to
and
take care of
there.
These people. Keep them there until they can be returned to their own country. Bringing them into our country, trying to make them assimilate, cannot happen.
And we'll be right back after these messages. Carl Bach, Trish Clark. When we get back, let's talk editorials and just a few other things. I want to talk about Paris, and they've caught the guy. We'll be right back.
Everyone gonna sit?
Barbecued turkey, just like last year, Cliff.
Oh no, not the giant charcoal cheese puff.
Shut up, Cliff.
Well, you know, Ace has a 30-quart turkey fryer for only $39.99 with Ace Rewards card. And frying oil, 3 gallons for $29.99. Hey, where are you going?
Off to Ace for big November red hot buys!
This month at Ace, there are red hot buys all over.
Your company can sit at a 6-foot fold-and-a-half table, $29.99. Limit one at this price. And the folding chairs are $11.99. Unexpected Company can rest easy on a queen-raised airbed with built-in electric pump, $34.99. For those last-minute household repairs before the holidays, Craftsman and Stanley have select tools and accessories, $9.99 each while supplies last.
All these red-hot buys and more at Ace, your helpful neighbor. Visit your local neighborhood Ace stores in Redding, Anderson, Shasta Lake City, and Cottonwood.
Tri-Counties Bank presents Space Available. When Whitney, a Tri-Counties Bank teller, noticed property owner Roberta Savelli depositing rent checks, a little bell went off. She thought Roberta might want to learn about the commercial lending programs available at Tri-Counties Bank. So she walked Roberta over and introduced her to Ken Rory, a Tri-Counties Bank business relationship manager. After a thorough review, Ken and his astute loan team discovered better financing options for her rental properties and saved Roberta a bundle in loan payments, increasing her cash flow and allowing her to acquire more properties. Signs point to a thriving future. Commercial real estate financing, cash management services, space to grow. For personalized problem solving, switch to Tri-Counties Bank. Tri-Counties Bank, service with solutions. Member FDIC and Equal Housing Lender, NMLS number 458732.
For 45 years, the Redding Civic Auditorium has been an important resource in the North State for entertainment, fundraising events, trade shows, and conferences. In the past 3 years, over $1 million have been put back into this iconic structure. We invite you to be a part of the Civic's revitalization by becoming a member. We think you'll love the benefits, and your support will help to sustain its revitalization and strong community connection. Visit ReddingCivic.com or the box office to become a Redding Civic member.
When you need prompt, dependable transportation, you can count on Redding Yellow Cab. At Redding Yellow Cab, they have a deep commitment to serve the public and provide dependable first-rate service. Whether you're heading out for a night on the town, need to get to work, or you're just running errands, relax and let Redding Yellow Cab do the driving for you. Redding Yellow Cab is your number one choice for reliable, friendly transportation and clean, comfortable cabs. Give them a call at 222-1234. That's 222-1234.
She was crying when I first met her. Dawn Steck for Coachmaster Collision Repair. Newly engaged, she had just crashed the vehicle they bought together. It had rolled over an embankment and every panel had to be repaired or replaced. A full paint job was also required. Our estimate was well over $20,000.
Now he won't want to marry me, she cried.
When he arrived, he comforted her and was glad she was safe. On the day of delivery, I learned they were moving out of state immediately. I had inspected the vehicle and test driven it myself, but a drive over a couple of states, in the mountains and long desert stretches made me feel uneasy. I was confident in our repair, but what if the unexpected happened? A few days later he called, and my heart skipped a beat. Hi Don, just wanted you to know the car drove perfectly, not even a squeak. It's times like this when I love this business. Coachmaster, Collision Repair, Redding, California.
National news with a local view. KCNR, 1460 AM.
Life is so strange when you don't know. How can you tell where you're going to? You can't be sure of any situation. Something could change and then you won't die.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460 with Carl Bott and Trish Clark. It's Thursday the 19th. It is 20 minutes after the hour, 20 minutes after 8. And this portion of the show is brought to you by Tobacco and Brew, 2143 Hilltop Drive, a veteran-owned store, my friends. And it's more than just a store. It is a great place with Espresso Joe's that offers discounts to veterans at Espresso Joe's, lattes, espressos, cappuccinos, and all the good, you know, the holiday drinks, that pumpkin spice and all that.
Oh, those calorie-laden
drinks. But you need it because it's cold outside and it'll burn right off. Then you walk next door to the finest tobacco emporium in the Northern California area. They've got it all from e-cigs to every type of tobacco and tobacco accessory and a walk-in humidor.
Okay, so we've broken the tide with Cuba. Do we have Cuban cigars?
No, not yet. We haven't done that yet.
Okay.
But I don't know if we will. I'm sure that when they do, though, that Tobacco and Brew will have it. 2143 Hilltop Drive right there, open 7 days a week. Okay, we were just talking about Paris during the break, and they caught the mastermind. He was killed in this one of the raids, one of the sweeps through there. And he was some of the ones that came in on this raid were refugees, quote, refugees. The problem is how can you tell the bad guys from the good guys? That was our problem we have in Iraq, is how do you tell the good guys from the bad guys there? The only way you can do it is the good guys to tell you who the bad guys are. Then you have to trust the good guys to tell you that. It'd be like going to Texas and saying, okay, all you Texans are okay. What about the Oklahomans? Well, tell me the difference between a Texan and an Oklahoman if they're both standing there looking at you. Both have cowboy hats on, and both of them, you know, with a wad of chew in their mouth. I mean, you're not going to tell the difference. Maybe a Texan can tell, an Oklahoman can tell.
But a Texan and an Oklahoman have probably got some kind of papers and paper prints and a footprint
somewhere
that we can follow. These guys, we have nowhere to go in trying to figure this out. And I still say we're wasting our time doing it. I just think that I'm almost becoming an isolationist in my thinking to the point where I think, you know, we've got so many issues right here in the United States. We've got our veterans. My goodness, at the top of the list, we've got veterans who need help, who are homeless, who are not getting the things that we should give just the population, let alone our veterans. We've got seniors that don't have enough to eat, that don't have enough money to heat their homes. We've got children. You hear
they
every
go to,
day.
They go to sleep hungry and without a home.
All of that right here in the United States that we need to be dealing with, and we're spending more time on illegals and immigrants and these people fleeing other countries. I'm getting to the point where I think maybe we need to take care of our own and stop worrying about being the godfather to the rest of the world. We're not doing a good job of any of it, so maybe we need to start over and just take care of our own civilization.
Well, that's the word is civilization. I'm not going to get into that, you know, except that, you know, it's – what's the name of that real estate company? 21st Century Real Estate or something like that.
Yeah.
Or in Iraq, in the Middle East, it's called Fifth Century Real Estate. So,
well, okay. You know, the whole conversation, again, about trying to bring these people over here from their culture, their way of life, it's like night and day.
It is, but it's not easy, but we've done that in our country. We can do that as long as they assimilate.
But when you bring them in packs like that and let them.
But you don't keep them in one spot. Spread them out throughout the United States.
And they are not assimilating.
They said it's well over 150,000 Syrians in our country right now that have been here for years. That in Boise, Idaho, believe it or not, is one of the largest groups of where they're putting in Syrians there. Now they're saying they're coming in now, which now I'm starting to wonder is why. But they say it's a 2-year process. How can it be a 2-year process and they're starting to bring them in? That's where you start getting into it, where they're saying, "Oh, this is the process," but yet you see people being brought in.
Carl,
what?
Bottom line is, you can't believe a word they say.
the government. No.
Especially this administration, and especially when the great white hunter stands up and speaks.
The great white hunter?
Well, the commander in chief.
Oh, okay, I got it.
Yeah, the great leader. When I mean, my goodness,
the professional hunter that tells everybody what to do. Okay,
I mean, really, the guy speaks with fork and tongue. He absolutely, no matter what he says, you know, he's going to contradict himself and speak differently the next time around.
Let's go to the phones. Billy Bob, good morning.
Hey, good morning, guys.
Good morning, Billy.
Thanks for taking my call. Trish, always good to hear you. Hey, listen, great show, conversation concerning all this Middle East stuff. We've been talking among our friends, and we've had it. You're correct in saying that with our military veterans, we don't have a they don't have homes, the poor, the elderly. And we're going to pay to bring these people in? And the taxpayers are going to afford it,
yeah.
Not only the cost of doing it, but then also the vulnerability of our security. This is absolute lunacy. And these Democrats, we call them libtards. And these libtards are better wake up, or we're going to take a 2x4 to their heads. I'll tell you what, we've had it. And if that doesn't work, then we're going to just glass that whole Middle East. You know what I mean by glass?
I know what you mean.
Yeah, they want Iran wants a few nuclear weapons. Well, we'll just drop a couple off for them, okay?
Okay, Billy Bob, thank you for that comment. Well, you know, but if you want to talk actuality, Israel, if they feel that threatened, they're not going to go down without a fight.
No, they're not.
And if they believe for a second that Iran is going to nuke them, they're not going to wait. Why would they? So you launch yours a second after they launch theirs.
There you go.
You know, guess what? They launch theirs a second before you. And even though that, you know, that yours may be faster and get to them, you know, quicker, it makes no difference because they launched theirs a second before you did.
Yeah.
And so
you're second after. It doesn't make any difference.
It doesn't make a difference. It's just,
yeah,
it's
because
just
you're
that
both
you've
dead.
Got, you're both dead. And they're both, you know what? Israel is a small country. One shot into Jerusalem, and that's it. I mean, the country's over. That's it. The country's over, really, at that point. And then people are going to say, wow, why did we let them get the Iranians get nuclear weapons? Not that it makes any difference, because there will probably be like five launches, and then Iran will cease to be, which will make Saudi Arabia happy. Most everybody else will feel safer, but Iran, as you know it, will cease to exist, as will Israel if it's launched like that. And they're saying they're kicking us down the road, so it's 10 years from now. Guess what? 10 years from now is tomorrow.
And I think what's different now is those people have been fighting each other over there in one form or another forever. It has never been so real to the American people. We're kind of pampered. We didn't have any of this on our soil, in our face, until 9/11. But how quickly people forget. How quickly people forget. It did happen up front and personal right here in the United States.
And since then.
And since then, yeah. How many times and how many have been thwarted? How many attempts?
I don't think you'll ever know how many attempts were thwarted.
Just the ones we know about. And when you do a little research and you get into some of the papers and find out several dozen times where they have been thwarted since 9/11. And it's just a matter of time.
Well,
it's just a matter of time. You got Paris. I mean, I love Paris. I've spent a little bit of time in Paris, several trips, and I absolutely love Paris. That's heartbreaking to sit and look at the pictures of places where you've walked and you've been and it was beautiful and you enjoyed it. And the people are always – I found the French people to be very, very friendly and very outgoing and very nice to us each time I was there. And it breaks my heart to think what they've gone through. And it was a road bump. What do you call it? A setback? I think our president said France was a setback.
You know, but it's
really?
I think the danger is here is that I think is that people we need a strategy which is not there. And then I look at and
We need to leave or
sure,
get out of
I am not sure anybody's got a strategy, because I know Hillary doesn't, because Hillary was one of the ones that helped make this whole thing up. And that kind of bothers me. You know, even though Hillary seems to be a little more into their face, like saying, hey, let's just, you know, let's go after them. But she still is one of the ones that helped build this debacle that we have as a foreign Eastern, a foreign policy in the Middle East. I don't see what she's got to bring that's going to be any different than that. So,
and how about her successor, John Kerry? Whoa, is he a bright?
Oh, when he said that, oh yeah, we can understand what happened the first time, but not the second time, because they were drawing cartoons. That's a good reason to destroy and walk into a place and kill 14.
We can understand why they did that. Well, yeah. Well, and there's, you know, we can rationale what happened there.
That's right. So that would be the same as say a Christian walking into the New York Times, who has written, you know, has published a poem. Or published a derogatory photo of Christ or of Christianity and walking in and killing all those people. That would be okay too then,
yeah,
right? We can understand that.
We can
understand that. Of course. Of course you can't understand that. It's absolutely ludicrous and inane, and we've got to take a break. We'll be right back after these messages, Carl Bott and Trish Clark. If you've got a comment, and it can be about anything, we're on open line now. Give us a call, 605-4567. It is now 8:30 on the 19th of November.
Tighten up across the country, Bastiani Arms will continue to provide our community with quality firearms, hard-to-find ammo, off-list fully built AR lower receivers, and the absolute best customer service. Get out of the grab-and-go box stores and come talk to a knowledgeable firearm specialist. The good guys at Bastiani Arms are real gun enthusiasts, with two full-time gunsmiths on hand 5 days a week. Right now, Bastiani Arms is stocked up on hard-to-find ammo, 30-30, 38 Special, and 44 Magnum. More people than ever are exercising their rights to conceal and carry a firearm. Seth Stoke has over 20 years' experience in firearms and offers CCW classes, women-only CCW classes, and hunter education. Bastiani Arms has everything you need for firearms, and they appreciate you shopping local. Bastiani Arms, on the corner of Larkspur Lane and Wall Street in Reading. Join the revolution.
Hello, I'm Chuck Kinney, owner of Shasta Gas Propane. My wife Judy and I started Shasta Gas 18 years ago with the goal of providing safety, service, and savings to our neighbors here in Shasta and Tehama counties. We're coming off of a fairly warm winter, but I know that many people still receive some high monthly propane bills, which can be hard on the budget. Shasta Gas is now enrolling some of our customers in our Easy Payment Program, where we estimate your annual propane bill and divide that by 11 equal payments. So instead of getting a $400 bill each month next winter, you could make much smaller payments each month beginning in May. Also, Easy Payment customers receive a discount on the price they pay for propane as a thank you for being in the program. So if you're interested in dealing with a locally owned, family-operated propane company and making smaller monthly payments on your propane bill, give us a call at 365-3793. That's 365-3793.
This weekend is the annual Sports LTD Snow Ski and Snowboard Swap and Parking Lot Sale. Turn that used snow ski and snowboard equipment and clothing into cash this weekend at Sports LTD. It all starts Friday with swap registration from 9 a.m. to 7 p.m. Swap and Parking Lot Sale is Saturday from 9 a.m. to 6 p.m. and Sunday from 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. The Mount Shasta Ski Park will be at Sports LTD on Saturday from 10 a.m. to 3 p.m. to take your season pass photos. Gear up for winter this weekend at Sports LTD with rental snow ski and snowboard boots starting at $5. Rental skis and bindings on sale for $39.99. Selected quality winter outdoor clothing for the entire family will be on sale 50 to 70% off. New junior snow ski booth from $54.99. Adult ski booth from $99.99. Great deals on adult and junior ski packages. New snowboard booths starting at $59. Decks for $199 and bindings for $79. Check out the selected snow goggles, gloves, socks, and beanies on sale up to 50% off. The Sports LTD Bike Shop is selling rental bikes. Cheap while they last. The annual Sports LTD Snow Ski and Board Swap and Parking Lot Sale this weekend. For more information, call 221-7333. Sports LTD, 950 Hilltop Drive, Reading.
National news with a local view. KCNR, 1460 AM.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460 with Carl Bott and Trish Clark. It's Thursday, November the 19th. It is 27 minutes until 9 o'clock. 42 degrees going up to 69 today. I think it's probably a little bit warmer than that, or maybe up to 43.4 degrees now.
As long as it isn't down in the 30s, it doesn't feel so bad.
It's not too bad. You know, weather reports always brought to you by Shasta Gas Propane. Better known business. Give them a call, 365-3793. 605-4567 is our phone number, and this portion of the show is brought to you by Cypress Square Barbershop right off Athens Avenue. Boy, I tell you what, great haircuts, great prices, discounts for seniors and veterans. It's a veteran-owned business and man's last stronghold. Trish, you could go in and get your haircut.
I'm passing.
You okay?
Yeah, I'm good.
Okay, just come on in and say hello to everybody. But it is. It's a Cheers of Barbershops. Cypress Square Barbershop, right off Athens Avenue, right across the street from the subway, across the parking lot from the subway. Let's go to the phones. Good morning, Nick.
Hey, Carl, how are you this morning?
I am absolutely peachy.
I'm so happy to hear that. Hey, listen, did you go to transparent.com, transparentcalifornia.com, and check out my figures?
Yeah, looks like there's a lot of people making money there, huh?
A lot, too much money. And I'm not even going to bring up the vapor trails in the southeast sky that aren't dissipating. But that meeting last night at the Red Lion with Kristen Schrader and her group, I was there.
Okay. What did you hear?
I didn't hear a damn thing, Carl.
Oh, okay.
They didn't have any solutions or anything. Mainly, it seemed to me they patted themselves on the back for all the work they did. I did hear one thing that troubled me is that... The little gal from home base said that when you house all these homeless people, it doesn't attract homeless from outside the community into it. Now, I've talked to 9 homeless people. Well, I haven't talked to them. 2 of them were in the paper. But out of the 9, 8 were from out of the area. And I just, you know, if you think about it, if you have mice and you put more cheese out there, you're going to get more mice. And I think before we start housing them, that we should shut the door. We should figure out a way to keep them from coming here.
Well,
now, I don't have a problem housing the homeless.
Uh-huh.
I don't have a problem with the homeless if they'll pick up after themselves. And there's a group of there's homeless, and then there's criminals. And the people that need a hand up, I've got no problem with that. I'm happy to give them a hand up. But you know what? Most of them really don't want that. I think I heard a statistic that said about 20% fall into that category that would accept a hand up and keep going. And then another thing that troubles me is the bureaucracy they're going to create, that when the grants run out in a couple of years, us taxpayers are going to have to pick up the tab, or we're going to be the bad guys because we won't pay the taxes and the programs are going to go away. Do you understand what I'm trying to say?
I hear you. Yeah, you're absolutely right.
Absolutely right. You know, you can get a grant. Look at what's happened.
You create the bureaucracy, and then, you can't lay these people off.
Yeah, well, it's not only that, but, look at all the people we're helping and are coming back. Oh, by the way, the grants are gone, so we're going to have to raise your taxes by 0.2% or something. Yeah. No, I understand that. You're absolutely right.
I've got another thought on this, too. Kristen Schrader, who's a city council person, claims that she's doing this outside the realm of her city council position. But the people I talk to all day, every day, they're not in favor of housing all the homeless. Their attitude's the same as mine. You know, if you want a hand up, we'll give it to you, but, you know, not just you're homeless, here's a house. And doesn't that kind of create a conflict of interest when, in reality, she's not representing the will of the majority of the people?
I think in this case, Kristen was saying, look, we have a problem here. I think everybody agrees we've got a problem out here. She took money from, I don't know, private sources to come up with a plan to identify things that could be done by the city and by the and it said, at least in the things I was reading, because I wasn't there, things I read said that they needed to come up with leadership. In fact, leadership was like in mentioned 3 or 4 different times. That's going to push it together to get these things done, to get, you know, to go do the priorities of housing and identification, first of all, of how many really are out there, which is probably a good thing. So, yes, she's working outside the realm, per se, of a city council person, but She, of course, is going to use that as a city council person when, you know, when all this comes up. I mean, it. I don't see her not using it, even though she's outside the realm of a city council.
It certainly gives her an ability to access services and people that she would not have if she were not an elected official. But she also, being a city councilman is not a full-time job, and many of them are involved in other issues and other enterprises. So it's a fine line.
Yeah. But, you know, and it's true. I mean, she could have done this as a private citizen, but probably that she now has kind of a bully pulpit, which made it easier for her to get the money.
Well, and a lot of times that's when you can do your best work is to use that to make a difference in your community. I don't have a problem with her trying to do it. I do have a problem, as you indicate, Nick, I don't think we can house them all. And I do believe the more services we provide and that gets through the pipeline, the more of them come here.
That's absolutely right. I don't know. I'm really proud of my community, and I hate to see it going downhill the way it's gone downhill in the last few years. And I see the heroin addiction that's going on, and I watched a documentary about it yesterday. And do you know that the recovery rate of heroin addicts is 1%?
Mm.
And now they want to push this recovery on. I don't believe Jonathan's estimates that they have an 85% success rate when the run-of-the-mill recoveries that we've had around for years, their failure rate's 85%.
Well, it could be is how they're doing it, too. But, okay, Nick, thanks a lot.
Well, I'm happy to talk to you, and I hope you have a good day.
You too.
Same to you, Nick. All thanks right. for calling.
Bye.
Bye.
Well, you know, it's we've got a problem.
It is.
Kristen Schrader took a step to do this, you know, to have this study done. And if there's nothing else comes out of this, if we can really identify how many homeless we have, then we can start thinking about the plan. Now, the plan is to do the continuum of care, which is a group of people, and to, you know, look at housing. You know, frankly, I'd like to see if we had 100 veterans that were homeless here in town, I would love to be able to have housing for all 100 of them.
Mm-hmm.
Now, it doesn't necessarily mean their own home. It doesn't, you know, it means maybe an apartment or one of these hotels that we're getting ready to take over that you rehab it and then you have there with 200 rooms.
It means a starting place where they can get clean and reestablish their lives.
Reestablish their lives for the people that want to, the ones that don't want to play by the rules. And guess what? Move on. And find ways of moving them on.
Yes.
That's the big thing. Okay. They're trying to figure out now the Democrats. ISIL, is it, you know, before it was like, okay, it was all Bush's fault. You know, everything was Bush's fault because of the war, of course. But then it's gotten into that Barack Obama wanted everything to, you know, hey, I'm moving everybody to Iraq. I am ending the war in Iraq. And so he moves all the forces out, and everybody that had any knowledge of it at all said that's a big mistake. Of course, Hillary's not saying anything about that because she was Secretary of State then and went along with it. But so as soon as that left, then ISIL raised its head and came in. And so now you've got this war that Obama ended. Now he's put thousands of troops back in there is going to go on well beyond his presidency because of his lack of effort there.
Well, tell me ISIL. What is the term ISIL? Islam, ISIL?
It's what it means is it's an Islamic state, a caliphate. Where they take, you know, that they own or that they control all this land in the Middle East, and then they will rise, you know, and they can go back to Sharia law, and then they can rise up and move their fundamentalist theories throughout the world.
What's the difference between Islam and ISIS? ISIL or
well,
ISIS?
Islam is the religion. ISIL is a group of people that practice a form of that religion. It would be kind of like a fundamentalist preacher or fundamentalist sect of Christianity.
So Islam is
the overarching. That's their that's the religion of the Middle East. Islam, well of people. I shouldn't say just the Middle East. It's all over. It's
ISIL is a theocratic state.
Yeah, it's a political organization to take possession of land and to form their own country. You might say.
So there are theoretically people who are a part of Islam that do not believe in jihad and the practice of...
No, they do believe in that. They're the ones that
so
are
So my question
it.
Again, what's the difference?
Well, it's like saying, is Westboro Baptist Church, does that represent the Baptist Church? Westboro Baptist Church being the ones that would go and protest at the funerals
so
of,
they,
of
no,
slain
I see what
warriors.
You're saying, because there are different Baptist churches that
this
don't
was
do
a
that.
Sect. This was a sect. Okay. Of the Baptist Church, okay. of the overall okay. Baptist okay. Church. If you look
I mean,
at
I'm not
ISO,
arguing with you. I'm
no,
really
no,
trying
I know.
To understand.
No, no, but I look at this as ISO is a sect. However, it's 30,000 or 40,000 fighters that are out there that started at nothing, and they could have been squashed at the beginning, and they weren't. And because, you know, Obama and the administration laughed at them and called them the JVs and the junior varsity, which who now have launched and become a much larger threat than Al-Qaeda. Has, you know, is right now.
And Al-Qaeda is another one of these sects as that is also no, part of
Al-Qaeda
Islam?
Al-Qaeda is an organization that wants to push the Western democracies out of the Middle East, that they've, you know with Osama bin Laden, said that America was there. America needed to move out of the Middle East and stop protecting the Jews. And to move all their forces and all their money and all this out of the Middle East
okay.
is what they wanted. I mean, that's a real simplification.
And you know, here, and my point probably by starting that whole discussion is that there are the people that have been in the military, the people that are very closely associated with this. The average American, I believe, and maybe I'm wrong, has very little understanding of what happens in those countries over there, where they're at, their proximity, and certainly all of these names and things that come up that are thrown around in the media. I don't think the American people really have a good understanding of all of that.
What you have to do is when you use the word ISIL and Al-Qaeda, and several of these other Fatah and all this, is after when you see the name, you put a circle around it with a scope on it, like a target. And think of them all just like that.
And okay.
Okay.
Good explanation.
There it is. On those,
we need to take a break,
most,
Carl.
Yeah, we do. But this portion of the show is brought to you by, as long as we're talking scopes, Bastiani Arms, 2539 Larkspur. Hey, you know, did I segue into that one? And John Bastiani and his guys over there have scopes. They have all types of optics for those long guns that you may need when you're out hunting deer and elk. And hopefully not ISIL. We don't want to hunt ISIL.
Let's
hopefully we're not hunting ISIL here in California. Bastiani Arms, again, located at 2539 Larkspur. Big on customer service, has ammo, has everything that customers want. And I do mean the optics, the ranging, the viewfinders, everything they have for reloading, for carrying your weapons. They have classes from Seth Stokes on concealed carry, on hunter safety. They have it all. They make an effort to take care of their customers. They're locally owned, locally operated, and they give veteran discounts there at Bastiani Arms. Great people down there. 222-8222. And we'll be right back after these messages. It is 13 minutes until 9 o'clock here on Thursday, the 19th of November.
It's that time of year again for the Redding Gun Show this Saturday and Sunday at the Holiday Inn Convention Center. Saturday hours are from 9 a.m. to 5 p.m., Sunday from 9 a.m. to 4 p.m. Jam-packed with guns, knives, new, used, old, and antique. And bring your used unwanted gun and sell it for cash at this show. This is the show of the year. So remember, the Redding Gun Show this Saturday and Sunday at the Holiday Inn Convention Center.
Fred, what are you cooking for dinner and where is everyone gonna sit?
Barbecue turkey, just like last year, Cliff.
Oh no, not the giant charcoal cheese puff.
Shut up, Cliff.
Well, you know, Ace has a 30-quart turkey fryer for only $39.99 with Ace Rewards card. And frying oil, 3 gallons for $29.99. Hey, where are you going?
Off to Ace for big November red hot buys!
This month at Ace, there are red hot buys all over.
Your company can sit at a 6-foot fold-and-a-half table, $29.99, limit one at this price. And the folding chairs are $11.99. Unexpected Company can rest easy on a queen-raised airbed with built-in electric pump, $34.99. For those last-minute household repairs before the holidays, Craftsman and Stanley have select tools and accessories, $9.99 each while supplies last.
All these red hot buys and more at Ace, your helpful neighbor. Visit your local neighborhood Ace stores in Redding, Anderson, Shasta Lake City, and Cottonwood.
Advanced Power Reading, your local solar warehouse, specializing in all aspects of solar energy and energy conservation. When you're ready to reduce or eliminate your power bill with a solar system, call 226-0701. Off-grid and need a power system or have power and want a battery backup system for power independence, call 226-0701. Save money on heating and cooling with our radiant barrier foil and custom-made attic fan systems to keep the heat out. We've installed hundreds of solar power systems, and if our customers have a problem, we take care of it. That's why they tell their friends to call 226-0701. Customers tell us, my power bill was $400 a month. Now it's $400 a year. My neighbor's bill increases every month, while my bill has just been a few dollars a month for years. After installing radiant foil in my attic, my AC comes on later and runs half the time. I used half the firewood last winter having radiant foil installed in my attic. Advanced Power Reading, your local solar warehouse, 843 North Market Street, Reading, or call 226-0701.
Hi, this is Don from Redding Tire Factory. Getting ready for a road trip, RVing, or off-road adventures? Redding Tire Factory can make sure your tires are ready to roll. Passenger, light truck, RV, and ATV tires. Redding Tire Factory carries a wide variety of name brand tires, including Goodyear, Cooper, Yokohama, and Nokian. Our tires come with the best in the West warranty. Redding Tire Factory offers a complimentary 20-point vehicle inspection free. Redding Tire Factory, corner of California and Eureka Way in beautiful downtown Redding. Always the right tire, always the right price.
KCNR, 1460 AM, the most local programming in Northern California.
Told me the world is gonna roll me. I ain't the sharpest tool in the shed. She was looking kind of dumb with her finger and her thumb in the shape of an L on her forehead.
We'll be right back. And we are back. Welcome back. I was listening to the song about with the L shape on her forehead. And I thought, that's me.
We just took a break, Carl.
That's me. Okay.
We just took a break. We're coming back now.
A little Smash Mouth through you there?
Yeah, I did because I was listening to the song. Hey, 10 minutes till 9 o'clock today on Thursday the 19th. What's the weather look like for the rest of the week here?
The rest of the week, we're going to have it in the 70s and lows in the 40s, and nothing in the way of rain until first of the week. Maybe there's a slight chance of rain. Weather is always brought to us by Shasta Gas Propane.
That's my right. Meteorologist wife says right now the models are not consistent because she's in the business, mm-hmm. and they're not agreeing 100%. We could see significant rain, or it could miss us again.
There you go. But I tell you what, Sunday will be beautiful when you go up to View 202. Go there for brunch. Linda will be singing from 11 to 1. And, again, a great brunch there and be outside. And if it's just – you know, 70 degrees is going to be beautiful. Plus, but they have fire pits and they have the different heaters out there to keep you warm. And then it's just going to be a good day to be looking toward the mountains and in the river.
And then are they there again in the evening?
Yes. You know what? They are there again for dinner that evening too, from 6 to 8.
There you go.
And singing there too, so you can go for brunch or dinner, or both, because they have different menus. All of it's at View 202. Give them a call at 226-8439. Wine at half price. Wine bottles
bottomless
of wine
mimosas,
at half.
Bottomless mimosas. Manmosas.
Manmosas. They got it all. Okay. All right. It says, best advice if you find yourself in a terror attack, do not play dead. Because
okay.
You know what? It's an interesting thing where – that we how do you train people that if you're in a terror attack? I mean, if you're in the military, you train all the time. And they should be training our children in schools. And I think they do. FEMA has this program out that teaches them to, you know, for things like this, if you're caught in an active shooter, that you, first of all, you run if you can. If you can't, you hide. And if you, you know, if hiding's not working, you fight. And that's really, really interesting that we're, you know, now we're training kids to fight back. And you know what? There's absolutely nothing wrong with that type of advice. Don't go out quietly. You know, try to do something. Try to take them down. Try to, you know, if they swarm them, you know, yeah, you know what? It's like they used to teach in the old Corps. When you got into a close ambush was, I mean, literally close from feet or yards away. You faced into the ambush, and you assaulted. Well, as the instructor said, you know, when you think about it, you're in an ambush on a trail, and they're close in, that you turn into the fire, and you charge them. And as he said, now, I'm not going to lie to you, Some of you are going to get hurt. But the rest, you're going to kick some ass. You know, and everybody went, but you think about it, that you turn into the attack, you turn into the guns and you attack. That's not easy. Now I think we teach get out of the beaten zone as fast as you can and then envelop, you know, like that.
Sometimes
you can't do that. Sometimes you're just going to have to turn and go. But how do you train people to do that?
Well, and especially if we're trying to deal with our kids, you say they're training them to do that, or you're teaching them. The last time I was in a school, they were teaching everybody, the whole bit of you don't say anything that might offend me, and if you say something that might offend me, how in the world do you get that those kids that think the world is their perfect little toy and nothing can offend them to teaching them how to be proactive in a gunfight?
The bottom line on this is that when you get into these safe places, and this is something else. We've got like 5 minutes left here. The things that are happening on the university campuses are very
– should have started that an hour ago.
Yeah, well, I tell you what, we've only got 5 minutes here.
I know, but
I tell you what, it's very bothersome to me because you have people coming in, taking over libraries, screaming Black Lives Matter, and they push people out of libraries because Black Lives Matter. Well, yes, Black Lives do matter. They do matter. It's not that you're not saying nobody else's lives matter, but Black Lives Matter. But to use it as an excuse to push people of all races out of a library, I don't understand that part.
Well, Carl, they've for the last 60 years, we've had these teachers in there teaching all these people how bad things are, how abused they are, how terrible our government is, how they have rights that are being trampled on. And I'm not a bit surprised that all of a sudden they're thinking they are the most abused people in the whole world, and they're going to fight back, and they're going to fight where? On the campuses where they're being taught every day that they have every right to object to everything that's happening to them.
And it's the college students as a whole.
Yeah, but, exactly.
But not all college students. There's a lot of college students that they're looking at this like, hey, wait a minute. I didn't sign up for this, you know, to shut down the university or get these. They had this one instructor, this one woman instructor.
Who now is no longer working there.
That was forced out, and they started a drive to try and get her rehired, and because she did so much for women that had been sexually abused and all these other things, yet she was forced out by political correctness because of something she may have written. So the bottom line is this, though, is how can you have students at universities come across that I don't want to – I've been told, because you've got a trigger alert, that there may be something taught in this class that could be bothersome to you, or it could be, you know, it may make you think, you know, and it could bother you. And so you have students that can opt out of the class, can walk out of the class. I'm sorry, I just can't be, you know, I don't want to have my sensibilities offended here. I mean, what is that?
It's not
going to happen in real life.
It is political correctness ruining our world. Political correctness in all of its forms has absolutely destroyed this country. You know, you got to toughen up. Life isn't perfect. It's not fair. And you've got to be able to go out there and take control of your life and do the things that you need to do to provide for yourself. If you're going to do that, you're not always going to agree with everything that is said in your workplace. But you just shut up and listen and do your job.
I can guarantee you there are Marines and soldiers and sailors out there that can tell you there's plenty of times they wish they could have had a timeout or a safe space to go to rounds were coming in and the mortars, when you heard the mortars, you know, going poof, poof, poof. They're coming. So I would like to go to a safe place right now where nobody can talk to me, nobody can bother me, and I can be myself, you know.
You know, but that's when you go home and you kick off your shoes after you've done a full day's work. You go home and then you rant and rave about the things that your boss that owned that company has done that you don't agree with. But you don't have to agree with everything as long as he's paying your paycheck and he's not doing anything egregious that, like, right. I mean, sexual harassment or those kinds of things. But just because you don't agree with what your boss says or something he says or thinks offends you in some way is not a reason not to do your job.
I probably offend Bob every day. One way or the other.
I'm pretty sure that's
true. You know, and he goes, nah, not every day, maybe twice a week. Okay, all right, but there's things like that.
Absolutely.
And I'm sure that, you know, if I knew what they were, I'd say them even more. But the bottom line on this is, isn't that what college is for? And this is what Silas Lyons said the other day in his editorial. I want my child to be upset. I want my child to be challenged. I want my child to have to listen to the other side and then argue against it.
Critical thinking.
And then at some point agree to disagree and move on.
Our city council is at this point not doing critical thinking. They are not opening it up. They're calling names. They are at this point where it is just, you know, kind of ludicrous. And I would like to see the mayor stand up and say, you know what, we have got to stop this. We are starting to look like a bunch of buffoons up here, you know, talking about how, we have to give timeouts to our city because of their incivility toward us. When there's incivility on the city council, far, far outreaches anything that anybody has ever said to them. When is it time for the city council to give themselves a time out?
I gotta agree with you.
And on that one, I think we can call it a day.
Call it a day.
Call it a morning. No, our day has just begun.
I know that, but love Thursdays, and I enjoyed Wednesday this week, too, and thanks for joining us.
You bet. Hey, we've got Adam McElveen on tomorrow saying why he wants to be on the city council. I got lots of questions for Adam. So good guys against the bad guys. Which are you?
The news is brought to you now on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center.
Top cardiovascular hospital in the nation, Shasta Regional, treating people well.